we can have the ushers just come forward. How many of you guys know that God blesses a cheerful giver? You guys know that? When you give, God really blesses your giving. Like, you sowing into this ministry, sowing into this church, and sowing into what God's promised for you, he's totally going to bless that. So as we give tithes and offerings, I just want to challenge you guys with that. Like, God's really going to bless you for your giving. All right? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for giving students. God, I thank you, Lord, that what they're sowing is going to be blessed. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word says that cheerful givers are blessed, God. And I thank you, Lord, that what they're sowing is just a seed into what you're going to bless them with. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I have some announcements for you guys. On February 17th, say February 17th, His Beloved and Marathon are having their event, the His Beloved event. Let's talk about that, ladies. It's called One Night with the King. I am really excited about this event. I know that it's been stirring in the lady leaders' hearts. We're going to talk about Esther. You guys are going to dress up in like your Valentine's Day dresses. And we're definitely going to serve you guys dinner. It's catered. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. It's $5. It's from 5 to 8. We do have little info cards at the info center. If you guys can pick these up and just take them, you guys can give some to your friends at school. We printed enough for you to pass them out. So I know that Seneca has a Bible study going on. You guys should take some of these, pass them out of your Bible study. It's going to be great. The other one is Marathon is having one called What Are You Running From? Okay? And you guys are going to talk about Jonah and the whale. I know you guys are having some pizza. You're going to have a message. And then I know that they're praying for some snow. So I don't know what they have planned, but I know you're going to go outside. So you might want to bring a little bit of warmer clothes for that. Both events are $5. They're both here, and they're both from 5 to 8 on Sunday, February 17th. Everybody say February 17th. There you go. I got to bring this up because I don't want to mess this up. Seneca Valley has started a Bible study. How many of you guys are excited for that? Even if you don't go to Seneca, that is awesome. Okay, so this is the details. Seneca Valley's Bible study is tomorrow from 2:30 to 4:30 in IHS room 121. I know Sarah Nugent is sharing, and I know that they're giving away free pizza. So if you go to Seneca, you should check that out. It's going to be cool. And the last event is for this Saturday. How many of you know who's speaking this Saturday? David Falk. It's going to be awesome, guys. We've been sharing pictures on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Take those, share them to your friends. You guys are awesome with getting the word out. I like look at like how many views we have on it, and it's like off the charts for this event. So we're expecting standing room only in this room. Can you imagine that? Like where leaders can't even be in this room and like kids are lined against the walls. It's going to be great. That's going to happen this Saturday. So tell your friends, 6 o'clock, David Falk, Storytellers. He's sharing his story. All right. Now tonight we have a guest speaker. Sarah Weaver is coming up. Everybody give it up for Sarah. She is going to be speaking to you guys tonight. Give her 100% of your attention. It's going to be great. She's struggling.
I'm sorry. My mic's already on. So, but, you know, I was just thinking about this. Yeah, I got it. Thanks. No problem. I was just thinking about this, and it's like a girls' night tonight. How many of you guys are excited about that? Ellie did worship. Ashley did announcements. I'm speaking, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, so we're not going to leave the guys out, but, you know, sometimes it's just nights to have, like, a girls' night, you know? You know what I mean? Anyways. Anyways, okay, so I think this might be kind of loud, I don't know, but so, you know, just to introduce myself, I'm Sarah Weaver. I've met a lot of you, haven't talked to some of you personally, but I'm here right now. I was a missionary in Africa for, I lived there for 19 months out of 24 months. I came back for a little bit and I went back. But I worked with Christopher Alam, and I'm not going to really talk about Africa a lot tonight because I want to share something else with you, but I just want to share a quick story, which is, it's a really cool story. Zach had me tell another story in here before, so I'm just going to share this quick story, and I miss Africa a lot, and I just think it's, like, awesome how, you know, Africa's just, like, this place. It's, like, it's a country. It's, like, where are you going? Africa. Like, it's one country, but it's really not, you know. So anyways, are you going to Africa? I'm like, no, I'm going to Zimbabwe. Where's that? Like, it's in Africa. It's like a country in Africa. Anyways, so if you didn't know that, then you learned something new. Cool, sweet. No, but I was in Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, Malawi, and all kind of similar but very different cultures. So So there was, I just want to tell you a really quick story about how I saw God just do something amazing. This is so cool. So I was, I normally stayed in cities. I lived in cities where we were, you know, I wasn't like living in a hut. I wasn't being chased by lions or anything like that. It wasn't like that. So, but I went for 2 weeks and I stayed on a mission base with this mission organization called Overland Missions. And I got to go out into like the rural parts, like the bush, like people were like, saw a white person for the first time. And so that was kind of cool. And so I went with this lady. She would go and visit certain people every week. Well, every week she would go and visit this lady. Her name is Esther. And Esther was a leper, all right? I don't know if any of you were in Sunday service this week. Pastor John was talking about the lepers, the 10 lepers. But leprosy is a crazy disease. Like your fingers fall off, your feet, like your toes fall off, like it eats away at your flesh, basically. And then like your ears will fall off and like, I don't know. So this lady, Esther, she was a really sweet lady, but she was a leper. And every day, somebody took her and set her outside. She couldn't walk, she couldn't stand or anything. They took her and they would sit her outside of her little hut, and it was like super small. You know, like it was like this big around, like this, like literally it was that big around, you know? And she just slept in there basically. So they would sit her outside, give her food, water, and she would sit there all day in this village. And I watched people walk past. She had this like bamboo mat thing or whatever she sat on. And so we went to go visit her. So this lady, Shannon, had been visiting her for like, maybe like a few months, a couple months. The first time Shannon went to go visit her and just talk to her through an interpreter, of course, and she was trying to like talk to her about healing, you know, like the healing power of God and all that kind of stuff. And she was telling her all these stories and just about God and about faith and how God's a healer. And so she said at the end, "Esther, what do you want me to pray with you about today? What do you want from God?" And you know what she said? She's like, "I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Crazy, huh? A crazy thing for like a leper in the middle of Africa to ask. I guess she was already saved. So this lady, Shannon, had been going back and back and back again and again. And every week she would ask her the same question. And she never said, though, she wanted to be healed. So the week I went with her, we were talking to her, sharing, and I was sharing with her this story about blind Bartimaeus, which is in Mark 10. And blind Bartimaeus is like, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he kept yelling and yelling, and people were trying to tell him to shut up. And then finally Jesus was like, "Hey, you, what do you want? What do you want from me? Like, what do you want?" And he's like, "I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Receive your sight. By your faith you're healed." So I told her this story, and we were sharing with her, and we said, "Esther, what do you want from God?" And she said, "For the first time, I want to walk. I want to be healed. Like, I don't want to live the rest of my life like this." And Shannon, the lady who had been going over and over, she just started like crying. And we're like, "Okay, we're going to pray with you." And so this lady, Shannon, took some water. And like, water there is just like scarce. You could go like 8 miles to a well. You have to like pump water. These women carry it on their heads, you know, like you've seen in like in movies or, you know, like pictures in National Geographic or something. Like literally, they carry these huge, huge things on their head for like miles. So, but we had this moment where she took water and she like just washed Esther's legs, kind of her nubs. I don't know. Like, she didn't really have feet. Like, she had feet, but she didn't have toes. And she's, and we just prayed with her. It was like an act of, like, just, like, man, like, love, kind of. And I said, I don't know. It's just what Shannon did. I'm not saying that that's what you have to do. Just what God put in her heart. So we prayed with her. And then we left. Maybe like a month and a half later, I'm in Malawi, a different country, completely different place. I'm in a city, not in the bush area, you know, and I'm on Facebook, and I see that she posts this video, and she's like, "Look what I saw today." So I'm like, okay, I have to like, you know, watch the video, even though internet in Africa is like ridiculously slow, you can't like, do anything. For some reason, it was fast for a moment. It was like a 20-second video, but I watched this video, and guess what it was? It was of Esther walking. She was walking. She was walking. Like, she couldn't walk before. She couldn't stand up. Now she was walking. And it was like we prayed for her, and it was kind of took a little bit of time. But she had faith. We had faith, and God still delivered on what we prayed for. So I just wanted to tell you that story to encourage you. There's a lot of things you could say with that story, but, like, I just want to encourage you guys because, like, you know, I'm hearing all of these things, like, that you guys are starting Bible studies and you're doing great things for God, and I'm, like, so excited for that. I think that's awesome. And I just want you to know that, like, there's no limits to what God can do through you. You know that? There's no limits. Like, he can use you to pray with somebody and they can be healed. Like, that can happen. That can happen here in America. That's not just for somewhere in Africa with the lady who's like a leper, you know? So I want to encourage you guys that can, you know, God wants to use you. He wants to use you to do that. So before I start my message, I'm just going to pray real quick, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you that we could all come together here in your presence, Lord. And I just pray tonight you would move on our hearts, Lord. I thank you for each and every person in here, Lord, that you would do work in their heart, Lord. I pray that you would bless them, Lord. I pray that you would use them, Lord. I pray that tonight they would know more about you. And I thank you, Lord, for using me. I thank you, Lord, for using them. And as they go, Lord, you will use them, and they will know that there's no limits on their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, cool. All right. So, I want to talk to you tonight about love, okay? Yeah, because Valentine's Day is coming up, right? You know, but no, not really in that way, but no, not at all. All right, because love is always like candy hearts and fluffy teddy bears, right? Don't you guys agree, right? JC agrees. Does anybody else agree? Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So I just really want to quickly, I want to read a passage out of John. I want to read it out of the Message Bible because I like the Message Bible, how it brings stuff out now and it's more relevant kind of to today. So let's go to John 13. Do you guys have your Bibles with you tonight? Or your phone with your Bible on it? I do. Yeah, you do? Okay, cool. All right, okay, cool. So, in John 13, and, you know, I told you that story about Esther, and I kind of want to kind of roll it into a little bit into this passage. So, Jesus... Okay, this is right before Jesus dies. I know Zach has taught you guys this before, all right? What, John 13 through 16 or 17 or something like that, right before he dies, or 13 to 16 where he's talking to his disciples and he's telling him, like, pretty much the last words he's ever going to say. I know Zach has taught you about this. I just know because I know Zach and he, like, he always says that, like, in every message. Okay. well, that I was in anyways, but okay. So here, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. So let's read. Just before the Passover, Jesus knew the time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, and that he had come from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, put on his apron, then he poured water into a basin, and he washed the feet of his disciples and dried them with an apron. All right. Now, this. Okay. In John 13, there are two crazy things that Jesus does, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight. There are two crazy things that he does. The first thing, he washes the feet of the disciples. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, like, these disciples, they're like, they're supposed to probably be like late teens, early 20s. That's like their age, right? And I was thinking about how, like, boys have really gross feet. And, like, they have, like, jaggedy toenails because they never cut them and stuff. And I was, like, thinking how, like, back then there probably was no nail clippers or anything. And, like, they probably had, like, the nastiest feet ever. I don't know why my mind went there. But, like, I think feet are disgusting. And I think, like, beyond, like, the cultural, what this means culturally, I think that that right there is just heroic. But anyways, so, okay, yeah, so they had nasty hobbit feet, and he was, like, washing them. Oh, so nasty. I don't even want to know what they look like. But, like, okay, so the disciples had just, he's like, hey, sit down here. He takes off his robe. He puts on this apron, puts water in a basin, and he starts washing their feet. Okay. So, like, what does this mean? Like, why is this important? All that kind of stuff. All the important questions. So, back there in the day, doing this, like, the job of, like, somebody washing your feet was, like, the job of a servant. Okay? And it was, like, really low. It was, like, really, like, it was the only, like, a Gentile and a Jew, right? Like, if you were a Gentile, like, one of the only ways you could really associate with the Jew, like, you could wash their feet. Why? Because, like, they were so much below you then, you know? And Jesus was taking this position. He was, like, lowering himself so much to, like, this position of just, like, a servant, like, the lowest servant. And he was saying, like, I need to do this. Like, I need to, like, do this. I need to serve you. Now, what I want you to see here is, though, that Jesus served them knowing that one of them would betray him. Did you see, like, the beginning of John 13 where it says, it's talking about how Satan had put in the heart of Judas to betray him? Jesus knew that. But what did he still do? Did he skip over Judas when they were, like, all sitting down? He was, like, washing their feet, and then he just, like, kind of skipped over Judas and didn't wash his feet? No, he washed his feet. Like, he served him like he was anybody else, right? I don't know. Like, I remember seeing that and realizing, like, man, that is amazing. Like, Jesus served Judas in this way that was so crazy to them, because Peter's like, no, you are not going to do that to me. You are not going to wash my feet. Why? Because to him, he was like Jesus. He was their teacher. He was his Lord in a way, you know? He's like, no, you can't do that to me. And Jesus is like, no, I have to. And then Peter's like, you know, then wash all of me. He was like Peter. He's like really just all in or whatever. But so anyways, this first crazy thing he did, he washes their feet. And a couple things I want you to know is that a servant serves all. He just doesn't, like, pick and choose. Like, right? So what I want you to get out of this is when Jesus served them, he knew what Judas was going to do to him. He knew that he was going to betray him, and he really hurt him, but he did it anyways. He served him. He loved him in that way. He didn't brush him off. And also, Jesus knew Judas wasn't going to accept him, but he chose to serve him anyways, right? So I thought that's kind of crazy. Don't you think that's crazy? Like, would you, like, if you knew somebody was going to betray you, and you were, like, doing nice things for people or whatever, and you're like, man, I know, like, would you go out of your way to still serve them? I want you to think about that, because I'm going to bring that back around, okay? All right? Tonight, this is going to be kind of a very practical message, and you'll see. But the second crazy thing Jesus does. Let's go on. And this is actually kind of, like, this is really cool. And I learned this from, like, being around Christopher Alam. He's Middle Eastern, so there's a lot of things in the Bible that they're cultural things, and you can get out of just that culture. You wouldn't normally know unless you were in that culture. So, okay, so going on. So Jesus washes their feet, and then they're sitting around the table eating. And Jesus continues in verse 18. I'm not including all of you in this. I know precisely what I've selected so as not to interfere with the fulfillment of Scripture. The one who ate bread at my table turned his heel against me. I'm telling you all of this ahead of time so that when it happens, you will believe that I am who I say I am. Make sure you get this right. Receiving someone I send is the same as receiving me, just as receiving me is the same as receiving the one who sent me. After he said these things, Jesus became visibly upset, and then he told them why. One of you is going to betray me. The disciples looked around at one another, and they wondered who he was talking about. And then actually Peter said, hey, John, ask Jesus. And John was like, hey, Jesus, like, who is this that's going to betray you? And Jesus said, the one to whom I give this crust of bread, I've dipped it. Then he dipped the crust and gave it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. As soon as the bread was in his hand, Satan entered him. Okay. Now, you're probably like, okay, like where are you going to go with this? But, so, I'm in Africa, all right? I'm not in Africa now, but when I was. it was after a crusade. And there was, like, some of us that went out to eat. We went to an Indian restaurant, and I love Indian food. Does anybody else here love Indian food? Anybody? No. Nobody likes Indian food. No. Okay. It's okay. It's all right. It's cool. Whatever. I like it. You don't have to like it. But I kind of developed a taste there because there's, like, a lot of Indian people in Africa, a lot of Indian restaurants. So we were at an Indian restaurant. And Christopher Lon, he grew up in, like, the Middle Eastern culture, which is a little bit similar, and he was Pakistani. And so when they eat, like, at this Indian restaurant, there was, like, all these, like, bowls of, like, curries and then, like, this big thing of bread. And they set it down in the middle. And then you had your own separate dinner plate. But he was like, you know, sir, he's like, whenever we used to eat growing up, we never had plates. It's like a kind of a... The English introduced that into their culture because, you know, India was a British colony. So was a lot of places in Africa. So he's like, we would have this bread. We would have these, like, dishes of, like, all these foods. And we would tear from the bread. We would, like, we'd all eat together from this thing. That's the same thing here that's going on, you see? And so they had this bread. And, like, when they say, like, break bread, let's break bread, that means, like, you're eating together, you're having communion, like, you're eating together. And so he's like, you know, we would break bread, we would dip it and eat it. He said, whenever you would break a piece of bread, you would dip it, and then you would feed somebody or give it to them, that meant that you cared so much for them, like that you just loved them so much, like they were a part of you, like they were a part of your family. And I was like, oh. And he's like, Sarah, like, who did Jesus do that to? Who did Jesus do that to? And he answers. I just read you this passage. Judas. He did it to Judas. I saw, like, a hand go up there. I'm glad you were listening. Thank you. He did that to Judas. Isn't that crazy? That Judas, he knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew that, like, he knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew all this. But it didn't matter. Like, Jesus wasn't moved by, like, what Judas was going to do to him. He was moved by his love for him. He was like, when he did that, he was like, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter you're going to betray me. Because he said, whoever I dip this bread and give it to, that's who's going to betray me. Jesus was handing it to him. When he was doing that, it was like, man, like, I love you. I care for you. It doesn't matter what you're going to do to me. Isn't that, like, pretty cool? Like, I didn't know that's what that meant. I didn't know that was like a cultural thing. I thought it was just like, hey, here, you know, like, I had no idea. I remember him telling me that and just like, man, I was thinking about that for a long time. Because really, there are so many times in life when like people disappoint us, right? Isn't that right? Like, people we love, and we disappoint people too. I mean, but you're like, I don't know, like situations. I'm sure there's situations in here where, chances are some of you don't have good relationships with some of your parents, or like with your brothers or sisters or something like that, you know? I mean, there's enough people in here that chances are that's the case in some people's lives. Or maybe there are people that just treat you absolutely horrible. And people you really love, and you know, maybe like a friend has really hurt you, but people will disappoint you, okay? But like what I want you to see tonight is that like it doesn't matter how people treat you, you know? It's how you react to that. It's love is a choice. Do you know that? Like Jesus chose to love. You know, it's like I was like thinking about this message, and I don't know, like the movie Mean Girls just kept coming up because, I mean, that is a crazy movie. Like, just, like, that's how, I mean, man, girls can be mean to each other. They can just be mean, like, seriously. And guys can be, too, but sometimes they're just like, hey, what's up? Like, you know. But girls, like, I don't know. Girls can be mean to each other. You know, I'm sorry, I'm like making fun of boys tonight. They have like long, nasty toenails and like. No, but like people can be mean to each other, and they can like react. They can like, okay, well, they did something mean to me, so I'm gonna react to them because of how they treated me here. Or like if one of your parents, like maybe one of your parents is giving you a hard time. Man, like, maybe you're reacting to that, you know, instead of just being like, okay, like, looking at this example, like, it doesn't matter how people, like, treat us. It's how we react to them. See what I'm saying, guys? Love is a choice. Jesus chose a love. And also, love is not dependent upon whether or not the other person will either receive your love or reciprocate your love. I want you guys to remember that. I know we're not taking notes. It's like really dark in here. I don't know how like people take notes. But I'm going to just say that again, so maybe that'll sink in. Sorry, I should have had it written up here. Love is, first, is a choice. Second, love is not dependent upon whether or not the other person will receive that love or reciprocate that love. Jesus loved Judas. He chose to love him. He chose to wash his feet still. He chose to still, like, show him that he cared so much for him by, like, tearing that bread and feeding him, right? He chose to do that. And it wasn't dependent upon whether Judas was going to give the love back, he was going to receive the love or reciprocate that love. Sometimes, like, true love is doing those things, even knowing that, like, that other person is just probably not going to, like, be nice to you back, you know? Like, if you're at school and somebody is just treating you like garbage, like, you know, you shouldn't be a doormat for people. I'm not saying that, okay? All right, right? Don't be a doormat for people. Don't let people just, like, continue to, like, you know, love isn't letting people walk all over you, okay? All right? Love isn't like letting a very toxic relationship keep coming back into your life. That's not love, okay? That's not love. But love is like, say there's somebody that's just treating you horrible at school, and man, like you have a chance, and maybe like somebody in their family dies, and you have a chance to minister and be like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, like love is like would they say that to you? I don't know, maybe they would. But it's not about you, it's about them, okay? Do you guys, am I like making sense? I don't know, okay, cool. All right. You know, like whenever whenever I was like preaching in Africa, they're like super vocal. And so like every time I would say something, they'd be like, amen. Or I could be like, if nobody was like kind of reacting, I'd be like, hallelujah. And everybody'd be like, amen. So like there were some people that were always getting amens about like all the time. But every other sentence at the end, they would end it with hallelujah. So that's why, you know what I mean? So I was always wondering, I was always like wondering, like, man, like people are really responding, but it's because, oh, sorry, I'm like spitting. I'm awkward, I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you, JC. Thank you for agreeing with that. But yeah, they were vocal because they just kept saying hallelujah all the time. So I'm not going to do that tonight. I won't expect you to, reciprocate, you know. I'm not here for that, okay? I'm here to love you tonight. It's cool. But so where I was going with this and what I want you to get tonight is love is not a choice, okay? Now, I know you guys are like doing awesome things in your school. Like I'm hearing this. I'm hearing like people are wanting to start Bible studies, or they have started Bible studies. And David Falk's going to be here on Saturday, and he is just going to like bring the word, which is really awesome. And I kind of wanted like to incorporate into my message like how with this whole love thing, like, okay, like love, like we think love, we think like teddy bears and like puppy dogs and like hearts and stuff, but like, man, no, love is like real. Love is like real life stuff, right? And I'm telling you, like, love isn't a choice. It's not about like, love is a choice. It's not about how other people treat you. It's not about this. Another thing about love and about the love that Christ gives us. And it says at the end of John 13, Jesus is talking to Peter, talking to his disciples, and he says, listen, he says, love as I've loved you. Like this, how he was showing them how to love was like what he was doing, right? He was showing us in John 13 how to love. He said, as I've loved, you need to love like this, okay? So the love of Christ, how can you like take this into like your world and stuff like that, okay? I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to close here. Second Corinthians 5:14. All right. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, if any of you are, like, wanting to know that. Okay. So it says in verse 14, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. In verse 15, it says, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. I know where I repeated that. It was for a reason. All right. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In verse 14, it says, the love of Christ controls us. All right? You know, Jesus said in John 13, love as I have loved. Love as I have loved. And that's saying Christ's love controls us. When we are controlled by Christ's love, we love how he loves. And when we love how he loves, like we know like that our lives aren't our own, that our lives are for a purpose, that he has special things for us to do, that he wants us to reach people, that we're his ambassadors, that he's going to speak through us, that he's going to use us, that he is going to take us to places to speak to people, to be a light in your schools, to be a light in your workplaces, as you're like starting new jobs and all that, wherever you are, when you're controlled by Christ's love, you know, you're not going to be moved by how somebody else treats you, you know? You're not going to be moved by when somebody's just mean to you for no reason, you know? You're not going to be moved by that. And there's feelings, you know, you can have feelings and feel hurt and feel bad, but really, ultimately, you're going to love like how you love. You're going to serve people, not because they treat you right, because the love of Christ is controlling you. Amen? Woo! Thanks. Good job, guys. All right. So I just want to end there. And thanks, guys. Thanks for being here with me tonight. Thanks. Okay. Woo!
Go. Hey, everybody, give it up for Sarah one more time. That message was awesome. Yeah, as she was speaking that, as Sarah said, she had gone to Africa, ministered to the people there. And as she was talking, you know, this kind of rose up in my spirit. Who in here is going to the Dominican Republic this Friday? Got a few? I see. All right. We got those. So you guys and then also you guys at Seneca that are starting the Bible study, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is what convicts people. It's what changes people's hearts. It's what ministers. It's what, you know, lets people know who God really is in their lives. So for you guys at the Bible study tomorrow and for you guys going to the DR, make sure you bring the Word. You know, it's the Word of God that really is going to show people who Christ is in their lives and who they can be in him. So I just want to encourage you on that. A couple things. If you go to Seneca Valley, make sure that you check.